Welcome to the Capital News. I'm your host, Alex Caritas. Today is Thursday, February 18th, 2021. Thank you so much for joining me. Title of today's podcast, Jobless Claims Keep Rising. This is in the wrong direction and in the wrong direction in a big way. The markets were anticipating a claims figure of 773,000. Instead, we got 861,000. Yes, you heard me correctly, 861,000, well above market expectations. So that's going to be our primary focus for today, as it is Thursday. Go through some market performance, a brief touch up on this afternoon's hearing within the House Financial Services Committee with respect to Robinhood, Reddit, Roaring Kitty, Citadel Hedge Fund, and some others who testified before the committee. This was a Zoom online hearing, so it was a little rough to watch. I didn't listen to the whole thing. I heard enough probably within the first hour or so. Again, it's grandstanding. It's a circus. We heard from Roaring Kitty, real name Keith Gill, that he is not a cat. So I guess anybody who was curious as to whether or not he was a human being or a cat, he at least informed us that he is not a cat. I would assume that would mean that he is a human, but he didn't confirm that, just that he confirmed that he's not a cat. This is the circus. This is what's actually taking place. This is what Congress is looking into. When the quote-unquote little guy does something to move stock prices higher, of course, it's a federal offense. Congress has to go in and investigate. Got to go looking into everything, right? But when the Congress conspires with the Federal Reserve to throw trillions of dollars into the system that we do not have, that lifts basically all stocks higher, well, there's nothing to see there, folks. That's not fraud. That's not manipulation. It's only small town. That's it. When the little guy gets involved, that's when they start to pay attention. It's wrong on both fronts. Congress and the Fed shouldn't be doing what they are doing and what took place in the markets with respect to GameStop. That shouldn't have happened either. People are attempting to turn markets into weapons as a tool to exact revenge. You don't like a hedge fund. You don't like an institutional investor. You don't like some CEO somewhere. Well, let's team up. Let's get a band of brothers together on Reddit, on Twitter, or whatever social media platform is your poison, and let's just go after them. It's not going to end well. Of course, there were people who made tens, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars in this short squeeze. And there were those who, in aggregate, lost millions of dollars as well. So you're going to learn the hard way. I don't know how many more times this is going to happen. I really hope this is sort of a one-and-done situation, a one-off. But we're going to see, obviously, what happens. Everybody wants to push the quote-unquote democratization of the marketplace, which of course sounds great, right? Democratization of the marketplace. Everybody should be on board with that. The problem is when we start talking about these marketing strategies that were brought up with respect to the quote-unquote gamification, where online platforms such as Robinhood and others may very well be engaged in sort of using tactics that are utilized by casinos. You know, you bought a stock, ding, 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 balloons, whistles, everything goes off. Congratulations. Got to get in on the action. All these people are buying this. Don't you want to buy that too? You don't want to be left out. Everybody's betting on red. Don't you want to bet on red too? Everybody's hoping that the shooter rolls a six. Don't you want the shooter to roll a six too? That's a problem because, yes, it's good to get people involved. But this isn't a casino. The marketplace, the stock market is not supposed to be a casino. When you walk into a casino, you know you're walking into a casino. You know there's blackjack, poker, craps, roulette, slot machines. You know that the house always wins. That's the saying. Yes, you can get away with winning some money here and there. If you really know what you're doing, if you become a professional gambler, good for you, but not too many of those people walking around. So it's really this there for entertainment. Have a drink, go out with your friends, your family, sit there and watch people walking around. Maybe there's some live music, whatever. Get out of the house for a little bit. It's entertainment. You know it. People going into the stock market don't realize what they're doing. And of course, the tendency is to, of course, buy because they don't even know what short selling is. And everything gets topsy-turvy. And when you're in this type of environment, where you have printing presses at full bore, you start getting these sayings, well, stocks only go up. And you have people that have no experience whatsoever coming in and say, this is the easiest thing ever. People quitting their jobs to become these quote-unquote day traders. I'm not making this stuff up. They think they can't lose. They think this is the easiest job on the planet. Because the Federal Reserve and governments around the world are making it quite easy for everybody that's involved. I mean, if you have stocks, they've gone up. It's that simple. Not because you're a genius, not because you went through and did a whole bunch of fundamental analysis, but because politicians and central bankers are afraid of accountability. They're afraid of responsibility. They don't want to admit that they are trapped. They don't want to admit that the policies that they have been enacting and arguing for years on both sides of the aisle have failed, that they do not work, that they cannot work, that it's unsustainable. But they are not going to do that. They're not going to come home, look you in the face, and tell you, hey, we got to raise taxes, we got to cut programs, we got to cut spending here or there, we got to tighten our belts. You have to tighten your belts at home with your household budget. Same goes for the government, because the government doesn't produce anything. The government produces hot air, okay? We get our money from the productive sector. The productive sector is suffering. So we're going to have to tighten our belts at the government level as well. Not going to happen. They don't want to do it. Democrats don't want to do it. Republicans don't want to do it. They just have different ways of financing it. But of course, we're talking trillions of dollars here from Republicans, from Democrats. We don't have the money, so we have to go to our piggy bank, the Federal Reserve. Oh, and they don't have it either. But they have the ability to counterfeit money into existence. And then, of course, give it to those closest to the printing press, banks, major corporations, the government, etc., etc. Those players get to go out and buy real assets, things that have real value, real estate, commodities, other financial assets, equities, bonds, these types of things, gold, silver. How can they lose? That's the world in which we live. I mean, what's going on across this country right now, especially continuing in the state of Texas, is heartbreaking and it's devastating. We can print trillions of dollars. We can put another rover on Mars today. But we have people in the great state of Texas boiling water. Pipes that have burst. Icicles in their homes. People freezing to death. Yet we can print trillions of dollars to throw into the financial system. Something is really, really wrong with this picture, isn't it? Really, really wrong. A first world banana republic. Thought I was joking, didn't you? Wasn't just protests, wasn't just riots, wasn't just political. It's everything. This country, we're an embarrassment. We are an embarrassment, a laughing stock around the world. And here at home, it's just pathetic, to say the least. So back to the House Financial Services Committee hearing. I don't know what's going to come of this at the end of the day. Politicians are going to do what they do. They're going to call for a lot more regulation. If they can get it, they will. At least it was nice to hear somebody from one of the think tanks down in Washington, D.C. And of course, you can find a think tank, and people are obviously going to have different opinions. You bring up 10 experts, you're going to probably get 10 different opinions. But at least this one woman who was up there testifying this afternoon was at least telling these congressmen and women, you do not want to enact a financial transaction tax. I was like, thank God, hallelujah, somebody still has some sense. We don't need them. We don't need the government taxing more transactions in this economy. We need less taxation throughout this economy. But I can guarantee you that the Democrats are most definitely chomping at the bit to implement and enact a financial transaction tax. And I'm telling you, the stage is set for it. As to what took place with the GameStop and AMC and other stock frenzy a few weeks ago, the fact that so many of these online trading brokerages no longer charged commissions. So like the argument I made a few weeks ago was, it's a perfect setup. You used to pay $5, $6, $7, $8 in commission, buy and selling. Whether you made money or not, that's what you were paying. So Congress can come in and say, hey, you used to pay $5, $6, $7, $8 every time you traded, whether you won or lost. So it can really help us if we just charge you a dollar here or $2 there or something, this, that, or the other. And of course, that'll end up being the slow creep higher and higher and higher because it's never enough for these people. Never enough. So be on the lookout for something like that. You know, most of Congress really doesn't care what the expert opinion is because these people all think that they're the experts on everything under the sun. But we'll keep you updated on that because that'll be big news if Congress does put forward a financial transaction tax. But there's going to be some other regulations coming down the pike, I'm sure. And these people will continue to be brought up before House and Senate committees, go through the circus, go through the ringer, dog and pony show. It's not to say that there weren't good questions during today's session. There was. There were some decent answers, and there was a lot of deflection, too. But that's what we've grown accustomed to. Well, yeah, we're not a publicly traded company. This is with respect to Robinhood. We heard this quite a bit today. Well, we're not a publicly traded company, so I don't want to answer that question because we're privately held. Yes, I gave you this amount of information, but I don't want to give you that information, Congressman, with respect to your question, because we're a privately held company. So that was some of the back and forth that we got. And a lot of, you know, Congress is obviously trying to get a lot of gotcha questions out there to Robinhood, to Reddit, and especially the hedge fund manager out there, Ken Griffin. And they answered their questions as best they could. They know what this is. But that's the thing. Nobody is really innocent in all of this. What we've created is an incentive structure for people in corporations to behave in a certain way. That's all it is. They say, oh, here's a loophole, or oh, there's a lot of money over there, or oh, these people are new, they're retail investors, they've never traded anything before, they've never taken an economics course, a finance course, they don't understand the markets. Oh, I can maybe move these people in a certain direction to my benefit because I'll be there first. I'll claim that I'm some sort of market genius. They have nothing but ignorance, so they'll trust me and they'll make me wealthier than what I already am. That's sort of the problem here with this democratization of the marketplace. It's bringing people into the markets that have no idea what they're doing. Again, it's not a casino, although it's what it's become. It's what it's become. Ask these people on Reddit and Twitter and Robinhood, what's a balance sheet? What's an income statement? What's a statement of cash flows? Can you explain what's on each of those? Can you explain why they matter? They don't matter to these people. And right now, they really don't matter to anybody else because what they're doing. So that's the difference. You're not just betting on red when you go into the stock market. You're betting on future earnings. And how do you come up with those projections? That's the difference here. You're buying a piece of a business. That's what that means when you're going into the market, into the stock market. You are buying a piece of the business. That's ownership. So I know I'm talking to a wall, but at least I'm trying. So some market performance here, some headlines real quick. We have UK consumer confidence hitting an 11-month high. The consumer confidence number is now at a negative 23 in February, and that is up from a negative 28 in the previous month and better than market expectations, which was expecting a reading of minus 27. Gold is also set for the worst week since November, hovering around $1,770 an ounce. We'll get to that momentarily. Japan services PMI drops to a six-month low with a reading of 45.8 for the month of February. But we do have a slight rebound with respect to Japanese manufacturing sector with the PMI increasing to 50.6. Anything above 50 is expansion. Anything below 50 is contraction. And we have Australian services PMI dropping in February down to 54.1. So still expansionary, but below where it was in January. So with respect to the dollar index, we're at 90 spot 53 with the dollar index. Not a whole bunch of movement right now with major currency pairs in the overnight session. However, the euro is at $1.21 to the U.S. dollar. The British pound is hovering near $1.40 to the U.S. dollar, so a strong run there. The Australian dollar is at 78 cents to the U.S. dollar. And to round it out, the New Zealand Kiwi is at about 72 cents to the U.S. dollar. It was a down day today on Wall Street, most likely with the headline, the narrative of the day at least, being the big miss with respect to initial jobless claims. But of course, there's a number of reasons why markets could have given back some today. Overnight futures trading Dow Jones Industrial Average, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ 100 are all in the red, all down about 1/10 to 2/10 of a percent. Japanese cash trade giving back 7/10 of 1%. A sea of red across the pond today in Europe, with the UK markets giving back the most, down 1.4%, could be on the back of a stronger currency. And the Italian exchange gave back 1.1% for the day. The Australian cash trade gave back 1.4%. So some of these markets may very well be in a somewhat of a correction mode again. Could be very temporary, just sort of a little bit of congestion, pull back, next leg higher. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. But then again, I wouldn't be surprised if with yields rising, especially with respect to what's going on in the Treasury market, I wouldn't be surprised if it's something a little bit bigger. But your guess really is as good as mine. We are in uncharted territory. Printing press is on, which we'll get to momentarily with respect to the Fed's balance sheet. But this is the land of Oz, so get used to it. I'm not worried about the stocks today. We'll get back to commodities right now. Giving back from some of their recent growth over the past few days. WTI at $59.83 a barrel. Brent at $63.37. Natural gas $3.03. Gold, as stated earlier, $1,774 an ounce. Silver, back below that 27 handle at $26.90. So hovering around 27, I hope it can maintain that. It's been pretty strong. Silver has been, especially with the weakness that we've witnessed in gold. So to me, that's a good sign, because if we had seen silver really fall off, then man, we might be in some type of new regime here, at least temporarily. Again, this does not deter me in any way from still being a long-term bull with respect to precious metals and commodities. Nothing goes straight up, nothing goes straight down. And then to round it out, Uncle Sam's 10-year junk note yielding 1.30%. So back up again today, 1.30%. This is something that we want to pay close attention to, because the Federal Reserve is watching this. And the question is, what are they going to do about it? How high and for how long are they going to tolerate rising yields? Because I'm telling you, this is not because of economic growth. These are inflationary expectations, period. Now, we know that employment numbers, that's a lagging economic indicator. The economy will start to come back, and then businesses will start to hire people. Okay, so the business is already starting to come back. They're just doing more with less. Then the businesses get stronger. They need extra hands, so they start hiring people. So the jobs market, we understand this, is a lagging indicator. But the fact that we are continuing to see several hundred thousand Americans every week, this is the 48th or 49th week now, of several hundred thousand claims, still far and above where we were during the depths of the great financial crisis at 650, 660,000. And that was for a couple of weeks. We haven't seen 650, 660,000 since last year, before all of these shenanigans started with the lockdowns and restrictions, what have you. So I have to always remind the audience of that, because that's huge. You have to understand that perspective. That's how devastating this has been. And we can only imagine what it's going to be next week with this cold spell, with energy shut off in Texas, one of the biggest states in the country, economically speaking. And of course, Houston, I believe, is the fourth largest city in the country. And it looks like a banana republic down there. So we'll see how that has effects next week. So initial jobless claims for the week ending February 13th on a seasonally adjusted basis came in at 861,000. On the non-seasonally adjusted figure, it came in at 862,000. in change. Last week's figure for the week ending February 6th was revised upward by 55,000. That's a doozy. I mean, any of the downward revisions that we were fortunate enough to see over the past, well, you know, here and there over the past month or so have basically just been completely wiped out with the revisions that we've witnessed over the past couple of weeks. I mean, this one alone should have done it. So initial claims for the week ending February 6th are now at 848,000 as opposed to whatever it was, 793, if memory serves me correctly. Yeah, 793 revised upward by 55,848. Terrible. Wrong way altogether. Continuing jobless claims for the week ending February 6th lags 1 week, 4.5 million, a week over week decrease of 64,000 on a non-seasonally adjusted basis, 4.9 million, a decrease of 93,500 week over week. With respect to the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program for the week ending February 13th, 516,000 is that number. That is a week-over-week increase of 174,000. So that's a doozy. And then taken all together, regular state, federal employees, newly discharged veterans, pandemic unemployment assistance, pandemic emergency UC, extended benefits, state additional benefits and work share, gives us a grand total of 18.3 million. 18.3 million Americans continue to claim some form of unemployment insurance. This is for the week ending January 30th. Recall the grand total lags by a couple of weeks. This gives us a de facto unemployment rate near 13%. And this number has declined week over week by 1.3 million. So that's in the right direction, but this number has been quite volatile over the past few weeks. So I'm curious to see how this starts to level out and play over the course of the next few weeks. And it's going to be interesting, obviously, as we're already halfway through February, what's going to happen with the $1.9 trillion monstrosity, basically the Nobody Cares Act 3.0, because Nobody Cares Act 2.0 is giving further assistance until the end of March. So we're already 6 weeks into this year, and another 6 weeks will be at the end of the first quarter already. So it's gone by extremely quickly. Will Congress pass more spending? Will they pass further legislation extending this, most likely through September? And it's not just going to be unemployment insurance assistance, it's likely going to be further extensions of various moratoriums, whether that's on mortgage payments, rent payments, student debt payments. And again, that's been brought up front page, basically, because President Biden gave a town hall the other day. And that was, you know, obviously one of the questions. And you have members of Congress who are pushing for like $50,000 worth of student forgiveness. This is ridiculous. You know, Biden might somewhere compromise at $10,000, but he's even at least smart enough to push back on some of that. I have to give him credit there. Because this is something that this will be the proverbial straw that breaks the camel's back for me. I'm not going to have any of this because none of these people can answer the question. Well, what about the people that made sacrifices and paid their student loans off in this economy? This has been a bad economy for years. For years. People have sacrificed. Families have sacrificed. And now you're just going to say, well, these are the lucky people who get to have $50,000 worth of debt wiped out because, well, it's going to be good for the economy. Well, what about mortgages then? What about credit card debt? Other personal loans? Auto debt? You know, these are in the trillions of dollars too in aggregate. I mean, my goodness. I mean, if that's the argument, then it should hold across all of these other asset classes. Where's that argument? So they better not do this. Or if they do, they better write me a check for whatever they're giving these people. Because I made sacrifices to pay mine off, as did many of you. It's ridiculous. Where's the responsibility? When is this going to stop? I mean, is this going to keep going for ever and ever? Everybody that enters college now is just, you know, the government's just going to pay you $50,000 and you don't have to worry about it, $10,000. I don't care what the number is. It should not be done. That's my tangent. Sorry. So, altogether, again, refresher here. Everybody on unemployment benefits here, 18.3 million. That is a week-over-week decrease of 1.3 million. The biggest decreases came with respects to regular state, with a decrease of 154,000. PUA program down 258,000. The PEUC program down 718,000. And extended benefits down 197,000. So that one is of interest to me, the extended benefits, because obviously states have different laws, and a lot of that is where that lies, as to once somebody exhausts their regular state unemployment benefits, they may qualify for what the state will call it, an extended benefit program. The fact that we're starting to see a lot of people rolling off here, that's concerning. So, because the question then becomes, will they be able to qualify for PUA or PEUC? If they can, well, then, of course, they may be able to get some assistance for a few more weeks. And if they can't, then what? Not that I am for all of these programs, but they're there, okay? The horse is out of the barn, so far be it from what I wanted. I articulated and argued my case last year before the Nobody Cares Act was even passed or even really brought up, because we knew it was coming. I'm on tape. It's in writing, representation and recourse. I'm against all this nonsense because I know how devastating and destructive it's going to be, because there's no free lunch. But those are the programs. That's where we're seeing some of the biggest drop-off. And we're going to continue to monitor this closely like we do every week, because the jobs market remains greatly distorted. And all of these numbers are heartbreaking, and they continue in that direction. 861,000. I mean, what's next week's revision going to be? I mean, it could put us north of 900,000 if we get one that's like the previous week's of 55,000. So not good, not good at all. To the Federal Reserve's balance sheet, hitting an all-time high at $7,557 billion. This is a week-over-week increase of over $100 billion. So here we go, folks. The Federal Reserve is committed, at least for the time being. And of course, they could change their mind as the wind changes direction, as they're known to do. But it seems relatively clear, relatively certain, that the Federal Reserve is going to remain committed to expanding the Federal Reserve's balance sheet by $120 billion per month. They will do so by purchasing treasuries across the curve. They will continue buying mortgage-backed securities, whatever they think is best, you know, because these are the geniuses. They know exactly what they're doing. So whatever they think is best, of course, they'll dabble and sprinkle some of this fairy dust into the corporate debt market, whatever they have to do. But it's at an all-time high. $7,557 billion. I do not have the update for M1 and M2 money stock, but recall those both of those figures are flirting with all-time highs as well. M1 is around $7 trillion, not too far off from $7 trillion, and M2 is not too far off from $20 trillion. These are staggering figures, very hard for the human mind to comprehend, but that's what we're doing. That's why you call it a banana republic, right? And be sure to check out thecapitalnews.com and, of course, our YouTube channel as well, The Capital News. I did post a video. I mentioned that I would be doing so, and that is up on thecapitalnews.com. It's entitled Monetary Measures. This is part one of a series. I don't know how many parts there's going to be, at least two, maybe more. And it's basically the visualization of the Fed's balance sheet, M1 and M2 money stock. And it's basically an overview of what we talk about here on a weekly basis, but now you guys get to see it. I know some of you, I'm sure, take me up on my suggestion to go look at this data yourself, but a lot of times I know many of you don't, or you don't feel comfortable doing so. That's perfectly fine. That's why I'm here. So check out those videos. It's a high-level overview, just a basic visualization. So if you have 15 minutes, check it out. Hopefully it's worth it for you. And then we'll start getting into greater detail in subsequent chapters. With respect to those monetary measures, we'll look at how the markets have responded to this monetary stimulus. We'll also incorporate the ECB, the European Central Bank, the Bank of Japan, Bank of Japan, People's Bank of China, et cetera, just to see what's going on in this coordinated effort and why it's no surprise that we're witnessing what we're witnessing. Okay, so take the time. I would appreciate it. Jobless claims keep rising. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.